New Testament passage comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Allow me to read some selected verses from that chapter. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" And then comes a listing of the origins of all of these people. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And in response, Peter stood up, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you." And then the chapter opens up again a little later, saying, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So God has raised this Jesus to life, and we're all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear." Well, when the people heard all of this, the Bible says they were cut to their heart and said to one another, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
So after his resurrection, Jesus spent the next 40 days spending time with his disciples and continuing his work in the final days on earth. And at one of those points, he told his disciples that they should remain where they were, which was in Jerusalem, and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit that he wanted to give them. And then it happened, just as we read. Wind and fire. At least it sounded like a wind, a strong wind. And it looked like fire. The image was very clear and real to them, for the tongues of fire came to rest on each of them. And the Holy Spirit filled them with himself and began to speak through them in other languages. Wind and fire and everything changed. The Spirit came to dwell in them, and they came alive, really alive, alive in a way that they hadn't experienced before. And this large crowd gathered as they witnessed this event that was taking place before their eyes. And they asked one another, "What does this mean? What does this mean? What was the meaning to the violent wind?" So it's interesting to note that the words wind and Holy Spirit are rooted in the same Greek word, ruach. And that word simply means wind. It means the wind of God. It takes me to an image in Ezekiel chapter 37. And in that chapter, we read about the prophet Ezekiel being taken by God to this particular valley. And as he records it in his book of Ezekiel, he says, then God asked him, son of man, can these bones live? Because they were standing in the middle of a great many bones on the floor of that valley. And I said, Ezekiel writes, sovereign Lord, only you know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. God's breath entering these dry bones, and they will come to life. That's similar to the wind in terms of imagery and meaning that we read in Acts chapter 2. That wind that was heard was the breath of God. That fire that was heard was the light and spark of God as it landed on the people, the disciples who were there. Second chapter of Acts. It was the day of Pentecost, and God was breathing his holy wind into the souls of the people. That's what God wants to do. He wants to express and deliver his wind, the Holy Spirit, into the lives of people, to indwell their people. He wants to inhabit our souls. He wants us to bring us to life. Jesus Christ was resurrected a number of days before all of this happened. And now he wants to, by the power of his Holy Spirit, to resurrect the spirits of all who would receive him. If that violent wind didn't get their attention, those flames that look like fire certainly must have. The number of people, thousands by now, that were surrounding this happening. I mean, they heard the sound of that wind. They actually saw what looked like flames landing on the heads of the disciples. They heard the results of these speaking the word of God, the truth of God, in a variety of languages. The wind of the Holy Spirit. So was the fire. It was a symbol of the coming of the Holy Spirit as well. Remember when John the Baptist was asked by a number of people who listened to his preaching, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? And he, in essence, said to them, no, there's one greater than I who is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to tie. He comes different than I, for I baptize with water, and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. This was the powerful Holy Spirit that was reaching into the lives of people. Did it in this dramatic way on this particular day of Pentecost. A fire that was ready to burn in the souls of people and purify those souls by that fire of all unspiritual rubble that needed to be cleansed. It was God's touch. It was God's work. The people had asked, what does it mean? Simply meant, as Peter was saying, look, Jesus was resurrected. He ascended to be with the Father. And from there pours out his Spirit to us so that he might indwell us with the power of his holy wind and heavenly Father and heavenly fire. Peter was preaching like he'd never preached before. Several thousand people came to faith in Jesus Christ. Something amazing and miraculous was happening that day. Because it was so powerful. Because it was beyond anything they'd experienced before, the people then asked, not only, you know, what does this mean, but now that you're explaining it to us, what do we do? So this is the work of God's Holy Spirit. So this is the dramatic cleansing of our soul. So this is the calling for us to be a place where your Spirit, Holy Father, dwells. What do we do with all of this? How do we respond to this? And Peter goes on and said, you must repent and be baptized. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent means very literally change of mind, but the meaning was even beyond that in this particular incident. It also means a change of a way of life, a commitment to be different. I was reminded as I was preparing for this message of a young man that came to me for some counsel, and he came a number of times. He came with lots of guilt. His behavior was not godly. In fact, it was ungodly. And he was sorry for the destructive behavior that affected him and other people around him. So he came to me as a pastor to declare how sorry he was. He had to come to me a half a dozen times. Each time he would tell me how sorry he was because he continued to repeat the behavior. And once he repeated the behavior, he came to me to repeat the "I'm sorry" speech. And at one point, at the risk of being too mean or confrontive, I said, "Don't be sorry. Be different. Sorry isn't going to cut it. At least not completely. Yes, God wants us to be sorry when we are experiencing our own sinfulness. But he wants us to be different. He wants repentance, which means a change of mind, a change of lifestyle, a turning around and going in a different direction. Doing things differently. There's a poem that I remember written by Diane Lumens. And she applied that thinking to her life in an area where she wanted to be different. And was a bit sorry, I guess. At least it sounded that way. And she writes a poem entitled, "If I Had My Child to Raise Over Again." Now this is where it gets tricky because it forces me to think of what I could have done differently as well. But she writes creatively, and in her poem, here are some of the lines. "If I had my child to raise over again, I would finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I would take my eyes off my watch and watch with my eyes. I would care to know less and know to care more. And I would teach less about the love of power and more about the power of love." She was sorry. She wanted to be different. And at whatever point in her life, she wrote this. That was her commitment. For us as Christians, I don't know that we can be completely different all on our own strength and energy. There are things that we just can't accomplish. There are changes in our soul and in our psyche that are hard to make on our own. That's why we need the presence of God's Spirit within. For that Spirit does the changing. It requires the power of the indwelling Spirit. The Bible tells us that Christ's Spirit comes to us to make us new creations, different than we are on our own. That's his work. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to not only give us life, but to give us life more abundantly, more fully. He didn't come to just to affirm the fact that we are living. He came to change the way we are living. So that begins to reflect to others. Our sacrament of baptism that we do in our worship services has a person's head perhaps being covered with water. On some occasions, it's the privilege of immersing people in water. Water is the symbol for us in that sacrament of God's covering us with His Holy Spirit, of God's filling us and dwelling us with His Holy Spirit. Water doesn't cleanse our soul. The Holy Spirit cleanses our soul. The Holy Spirit makes us new. And that's what Christ wanted to give. He says, I don't want you to be left alone. Yes, I'm going to leave you, but wait some days in Jerusalem, because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that's going to make you completely different. I want to inhabit you. In essence, he's saying to us, to his disciples, I walked with you for some years. Now I want to live in you for eternity. I want my power to be there. It is the Spirit of Christ that makes us new creations. My definition of a Christian is then a person in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells. That's bottom line. Christians are people in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells. How do we get the Spirit of Christ in our life? How does the Holy Spirit come to indwell? We determine to repent, go in a new direction, the direction of Christ. We invite Christ into our life. The moment we invite Christ into our life as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit indwells us and stays there forever. His Spirit shows God's love to us. His Spirit enlightens us according to the Word. His Spirit gives us strength to stand against whatever might be our spiritual enemy in the world. His Spirit whispers to our spirit how much God loves us. His Spirit gives us a clarity of the directions to take in our life when so many directions are options to us. His Spirit teaches us to hate evil and to love good. His Spirit pushes away our selfishness and replaces it with compassion. His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, makes us alive. And though the incoming of His Spirit may not be quite the same as it was on that particular day of Pentecost, nevertheless, our lives are changed the moment we give ourselves to Christ and receive His Spirit. It'll be our version of wind and fire deep in our soul. Holy God, we want a new touch of that. We want Your wind to kind of blow out the cobwebs that are surrounding our soul, to make it new. We want Your fire to purge the sinfulness that wants to drive us and give us the power for a new direction. We want Your loving, strong presence to be our life. For we pray it in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.